advance notice, if you've been blessed from the ministry over the past few days and also tomorrow, then we'd love to be able to bless them as well. So that's all the announcements, as far as I'm aware just now. And I'd like to hand over to Rick. And I'll pray for him when he comes up as well. Yes. Lord, I just thank you for what we have learned this morning, Lord. For me, it's just been life. Lord, I know that the calling on Rick and Bev is to speak life. And Lord, I've just felt life being poured into me this morning. Lord, I pray for Rick now as he gives out, Lord, that you give him the anointing to be able to do that. Lord, not just what's on his heart and his mind, but Lord, what's on your heart for us this afternoon. And Lord, I do pray that you would keep us alert. Lord, it's always a difficult time after lunch. We're all feeling relaxed, the sun's shining, and there's all the other things. But Lord, I pray that we wouldn't shut you out of being able to speak to us this afternoon. Lord, I pray that our spirits would be enriched and that our souls wouldn't have control this afternoon. Lord, in your name, amen.
Thank you. So that was a great lunch. It's been great just this short little while just to get to see some faces, get to know a few names and feel a bit of a connection. For us, that's important because people are where we connect, and that's really, I think, an important thing for each of us to do that. In this afternoon session, I'm going to talk for a little while, then we think it's important for people to receive ministry, prayer. You may want prayer for some specific reason or for any reason. If you don't want prayer, that's okay, but we would like to pray for everybody, not necessarily lay hands on every individual, although that's possible, but we'll give enough time to that. There's this thing about impartation, about laying hands on one another, imparting gifts to one another, the Spirit of God. And many of us have been around in Christendom for a long time. And because you've been around for a long time doesn't mean you know more or you're any closer to God. It's to do with relationship that keeps you connected with the Spirit of God. And then sometimes, of course, it becomes detrimental for people where they get a little older and they get a little used to making that connection. And I remember years ago, something had happened and Bev said to me, "Did you forgive that person?" I said, "Yeah, of course I did." And she said, "It's just you keep talking about it." I said, "Well, I just keep forgiving them after I've talked about it." And I realized that I hadn't. And it occurred to me that I had got so used to forgiveness, what it is, what the Bible says about it, the biblical scripture principles and everything that comes with that, and know how it works, that I was so familiar with it that I was assuming that I was doing it. But in actual fact, what I was doing was assuming, but I wasn't actually putting it into practice. And I said this morning that, you know, that already there's stuff placed within every one of us that God wants to come to the surface. And because we're not familiar with it, we don't go there, we either tend to put ourselves down rather than put ourselves up. Some people get caught with putting themselves up, and that's often they try to make themselves famous because they feel that they need to be important in the presence of God. When in actual fact, we already are important in the presence of God. That's a good thing, isn't it? And we just need to be mindful of that all the time. So we're going to pray for people, lay hands on you if that's what you'd like, to pray over you, to impart whatever into you, whatever God may have for you. There may be some... you know, the Bible talks about words of knowledge, words of wisdom and stuff like that. Those things can come and flow. I just want to read this verse of Scripture in John chapter 10, verses 11 to 13. Before that, I'm going to pray. And Father, I want to thank you for today, Lord God, for people that have given their time to come together. And there's something important about the gathering of your people. And Lord, wanting to move forward together is an important thing, that we need to be able to get a hold of the mind of Christ in the midst of all that we do. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would empower each one of us continually today. Lord God, that whatever way we've seen ourselves to this date, whatever's molded us, shaped us, affected us, influenced us, held us back, all of those things that brought us to the place that we are right now, I pray, Lord God, that you would move us on, shift us, and we would give you permission to do that. But Lord, we give each other permission to receive the fullness of that which you have for each one. And Lord, in the light of that, regardless of age or years of being in relationship with you, that which is present within us, that you've placed there, those things that you prepared beforehand, the plan that you have over our lives, would not be lost or neglected. The gifts that are there, that it may have been practiced to some degree or never even considered, would be released in the days to come. Lord, that we would work in the fullness of not just the knowledge of your word and even the memory of your word, but in the practice of your word. Lord, that it would be alive and vibrant within us, and we'd be constantly rejoicing and excited of the thought of that which is possible in and through Christ Jesus, through the life that you've given us, the empowering of Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord God, that which we have learned maybe that may hinder us, that we can constantly walk away from that, taking a hold of that which you've set before us, not allowing the things of the past, good and bad, to hold us in a place. But Lord, we look ahead, and as Paul said, we stretch ahead, we press ourselves forward for the upward call that is there for us, that we would never lose the ground and we would constantly move forward in you, not in the influence of others alone or even the influence of your word, but in the influence of the relationship that we have with you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Some of the things, I heard a speaker preaching recently, just talking about the eras of religion, and he was talking about the Sistine Chapel. Bev and I, a couple of years ago, had the privilege to go, when we were living in the UK, we got to go to Rome. And how many people have been to Rome? Just a few there. And it was very exciting. It was nice and warm at the time, and we got to go on a Segway. If you've never been on a Segway, you should get on a Segway. Honestly, we were up there for about 3 hours on this thing. It was whoa, you know, uphill, downhill. Absolutely amazing. Takes about 4 minutes to learn how to ride it. You think you're never going to get it, but you get it because it works with you, works with the balance. And you lean forward and it goes faster. You lean back, it slows down. You turn to the side and it goes around the corner. You stop and it stops dead still. Absolutely marvelous things. I did put on Facebook one time, if anybody wanted to buy me one, I'd be really happy. No, nobody ever responded to it. But while we were in Rome, we got to go around the different places. And when we went to the Sistine Chapel, which I had never personally been to before, Bev hadn't, and looking at all the colours, the vibrance of the paintings that are all over the ceiling and such, and lots of other things, and realising that prior to that, it was very muted. The colours, when you look up, they were very dark and grey and muted colours. And there was a whole sense of story that why it was painted that way with muted colours and so on and so forth. And they began to realise that maybe there was some brighter colours behind that. And they got in a company that specialised, and they somehow worked out how to extract what turned out to be all the smoke and wax from the candles that have been burning in there over the years. And they somehow managed to suck all that stuff out without damaging the colour, only to find these bright, vibrant colours that Michelangelo put in there to talk about his God was bright and alive and vibrant, not soft and, you know, dull and muted in those sense. And what this preacher was doing, he said that stuff that was in there is like religion. It covers up the brightness of the truth of the life of Christ that lives within each one of us. And that life is not boring for in Christianity. It should be alive and it should be vibrant. But if we as leaders do not believe that, even if as believers we don't believe that, how are we going to convince other people? And what Bev was talking about earlier was so true, that when you talk to people, when you're talking, when they see something in your life, it's not because you're hinting or dropping hints at them or leaving your Bible in the middle of the table in conversation, but just having a conversation with them. The time will come where they're likely to turn around and say, so what do you think about this? Or what do you do with that? And, you know, people would ring and say, I've got this problem, I've got this situation, because they would know somehow if they need spiritual help. And, you know, people are aware when they need spiritual help. When they've done everything else, somehow they know they need spiritual help, and then they look in their mind for someone that could help them. And that person's likely to be you if you've got to know them in some sense. And so there's this real life and this vibrance of the Spirit of God that dwells within each one of us. And we need to release that on a continual basis. Not to be jumping up and down and singing and dancing, whilst that's good to do, but just to be who you are. But you don't know who you are until you search out the presence of God. And there are two places in Christendom, and that is who you are and what you do. Who you are in Christ, whose you are, you know, the person that you are. So let me ask you the question. Let me ask you this question. Who are you?
I'm Steve.
Oh, that's good. That's your name. Who are you?
A person in Christ.
That's really good too. Who are you?
I'm me.
What do you do?
I'm a father and I'm a policeman. And
you're going to have no problem with that one. You're going to rattle it off. See, if somebody says, what do? You go, who are you? And often what happens when we say, who are you? We start to lean into what we do. So we get it confused. And the question is, who are you in Christ Jesus? Not what you do, even in Christ Jesus. So what you do is one thing, who you are is another. And if you get those two confused in your life, then there's going to be a confusion of other people. Because if you're not clear who and whose you are, it doesn't come out of you. You understand where I'm coming from? You do? Thank you. Can I have one more hand? One more. That's good. I know nobody's going to sleep because I can see no eyes drifting there. I've got to tell this story. I'm sorry. There was this preacher. He was at a conference one time. And the minister, the bloke that was speaking on the platform, he said, do you know, in the afternoon, sometimes some of the members of my congregation start to fall asleep. And he said, I said to them this one day, some of the best years of my life were spent in the arms of another woman. And everybody woke up. Yes, he said, in the arms of my mother. You've heard it. He thought this was so great, this ministry. He went home, he said, I'm going to remember that one. And some months later, he was preaching away and a few people started to nod off on him. And he thought, what was that? He said, do you know what? Some of the best years of my life were spent in the arms of another woman. And everybody woke up and he went, and for the life of me, I can't think who she was. And he got their attention. So fortunately, nobody's going to sleep. John chapter 10, verses 11 to 13, from the Message Bible, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good sheep puts his sheep before himself, sacrifices himself if necessary. A hired man is not a real shepherd. The sheep mean nothing to him. He sees a wolf come and he runs for it, leaving the sheep to be ravaged and scattered by the wolf. He's only in it for the money. The sheep don't matter to him. The key to leadership is concern for the health of the people. You don't have to be a senior leader. You don't have to be, and just even watching over lunchtime, it wasn't difficult, excuse me, for me to see people walking up to one another and saying hi. One person was sitting, another one went and said, hey, how you going? Just involve them in what we're doing. So those things are built into people, and we need to know how important that is. The importance and the health of the church that you live in, that you're part of, is critical to the health of the whole church. So leadership is not just about the senior people. It's not about preaching on the platform. It's not about what you do within the church. It's about who you are in the church. And you've got to understand the difference. And if you don't know the difference, what you do is you pray. You say, Lord, would you show me who I am in you? And if you've never prayed that prayer, it's okay to pray that. Do you know it's okay to lay hands on yourself? Lord, I thank you for your presence in my life. If you get sick, you can lay hands on yourself if there's nobody else around. Isn't that good? Now, it's very hard to have an agreement because there's nobody else there, but you can agree with the Holy Spirit. But you can lay hands on yourself and say, in Jesus' name, I lay hands on me and I pray for healing to come in my body. practice those things, and after a while it becomes second nature to you. It's knowing who you are in Christ and the authority that you have from heaven. It's a great authority. It's a brightness. It's a sharpness. It's a joy. It's a life, and it's a happiness. So that is so important. It's critical. It's not about religion. And I want to tell you this. How many people believe there could be some form of religion dwelling within them? Come on, yeah. Now, it doesn't mean you've got a spirit of religion, I'm going to cast it out. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact there are things within us that are actually religion. But do you know what religion does? It either makes you feel bigger than you really are in a humanistic sense, or it makes you generally smaller than who you really are. I can't do that. I haven't got the ability to do that. Would you pray for somebody that was dying of sickness on the street? You know, I'm not asking you the question. I'm just saying, would you do that? And the reason why we wouldn't often is because what if it doesn't work? What if they don't get healed? Well, what does it matter if they don't? Well, it does matter if they don't. But what does it matter to you whether you're seen to be good or not good? The truth is the releasing of the power of God within you. Paul talked about the gifts, and I'm not going to go into gifts at the moment, but he talked about the gifts like this. He said, the gifts of the Spirit grow stronger by practice. So if you exercise the gifts, they get better within you. If you exercise your body, it gets fitter. If you don't exercise the gifts, what happened? If you don't exercise your body, what happened? It's the same answer, spiritually and practically. One causes it to grow and one stunts it. And so many of you have got gifts in there that you haven't even discovered yet, right? And I'm not talking about superpower spiritual gifts necessarily, although that could be it, but gifts that have an ability to be able to see things. Some of you have got the gift of discernment and you don't even realize it's a gift. You think it's commonplace for everybody to have such a thing. Some of you got the gifts of the word of knowledge and understanding and those things there. You may not have even had any teaching on it. I'm sure you have. You may not even know whether you agree with it or not. But the issue is it's there in the word of God and it dwells within you. There's this constant ability to search out the word of God and search out the presence of God in your life to find out what actually dwells within you. What's in there? It's amazing. You know, like if I take a motor car, our son-in-law loves tinkering with cars, and everything goes wrong with our cars, I say, Matt, would you look? And mate, he will spend days on his back under a car, even if there's nothing wrong with it. He'll just lay there going, ah, and he'll strip the engine down. When we went back to the UK, he said to me, you've got to get a new timing belt in your truck, mate. I said, really? He said, yeah, it's time. I said, oh, how much is that going to cost? He said, oh, about $30. I'll buy a kit. Oh, you can do it? Oh, it's simple. Just take the top end off, take the front out, do this. And I'm going, go for it, man. Well, he was looking for it. He planned it. He bought the kit. He got everything ready in advance. His weekend came and he, you know, spent the whole weekend out there, probably two weekends working on it. That's what he loves. But if you put a hammer in his hand and say, why don't you fix that wall up, man? He goes, are you serious? Like, it's, but now for me, put a hammer in my hand, mate, I'll build something, knock something over, do something. There's a wall there. Why? Take it down. Put another one up, right? But put me under a car and I'll die. But it's what's in you that makes you work. And spiritually, it works the same way. We lean towards a certain thing. We lean a certain way. Understand what those gifts are. Search them out and look for them. This scripture here in John that I read, I'm not talking about just whether you are a hireling, but there are things that are not genuine about each one of us because of fear. And we confuse who we are with what we do. And what we do is not the same as who we are. Please hear what I'm saying. Can I have at least two people say you understand where I'm coming from? There you go. I got five. This is getting better. All right? So that whole sense of asking the Lord, this is what you do. Lord, will you show me who I am in you? will you show me who I am in you? Not what can I do? What are my abilities? What are my giftings and my callings? Because those things will begin to come out when you discover who you are. But often we sit on the fact that this is where I've got to in this time of my life. And there's a, excuse me, in Genesis chapter 12, I'm not going to go into it now because I haven't got the time, I don't want to go there. But it talks about when Abram, God speaks to him, he said, I want you to leave where you are, I'll take your family with you, so on and so forth. And off he goes, and by the time we get to verse 8, it says that he left the place that he was in, and he got to a certain place, and he pitched a tent, he pitched his tent, and then he built an altar. And building an altar is talking about a permanent structure in our lives. It's about worship. It's about praise. It's about identifying God for who he is and identifying ourselves for who we are. It's a something that's being built to further our life along. A tent, on the other hand, is temporal. It's temporary housing. It's not a permanent thing. It's just there for the night. It's there to give you shelter and so on and so forth. And there are times in our lives where we get those two confused as well. So instead of pitching a tent and building an altar, what we do is we build a tent and pitch an altar. So we spend more time on trying to discover what we can do and what we look like to other people. And I'm not talking about just the fame people that want to get up there and be big, famous people in Christ. Just you and I as well. It's important for us in our own self to try and find out what we are good at, what we're important with, rather than establishing how we find that information and it comes out of Christ. And so there's a need for us to know, I'm building a relationship with God because that's what I do. Out of that comes the person that I am. It doesn't work the other way. And I could sort of talk about these things on and on and on, but there was just one thing that I wanted to say at this point about leadership, and I just made a note of it this morning when Bev was speaking, so I thought it's important because I had this difficulty myself. Let me ask this question. Who believes that biblical leadership is correct? What do I mean by biblical leadership? Leadership that's found in the scriptures. Biblical leadership. Yeah. Well, let me simplify it. Who believes that God appoints leaders? Today. Not just in the Old Testament. Okay? So therefore, if you believe God appoints leaders, who believes then, if we call that biblical leadership, who believes in biblical leadership? Okay, that's biblical leadership. So if we believe in that, then we need to learn how to follow the leader in Christ. Now, Paul said it like this. As I follow Christ, you follow me. It's our responsibility in following a leader, following these two guys, that you watch them, not test them, but you watch them, and you'll see they're following Christ. You'll see that they're looking, they've got a relationship with God, their marriage is good, and so on and so forth. There's all biblical principles are in place there, and therefore they say, we believe we can do this, and you can say, great. It's your responsibility for your life to become a great leader. But before you can become a great leader, you must be a great follower. And a good follower can make a good leader. And for Bev and I, this is what's happened to us. We went over to the UK. We planted a few churches, adopted a few churches there, some other stuff that was going on. We were there for 18 years. It's a long time in anybody's life. 18 years. We developed into that land, an understanding of the way things worked. We watched the church, not just our churches, but the church across the nation actually change and grow and develop into a greater church than it was when we first went there. And we witnessed that ourselves. That wasn't our doing. That was something that God was doing across the land. And we were very excited about that. And then God said to us in 2010, in the same way that I transitioned you from Australia to the UK, in 3 years I will transition you back to Australia. And we thought, okay, that's good. That's good. So the question is, well, what will we do? Who would ask that question? Of course you would. Well, what will we do? So we're back to square one again. Is it what we do or who we are? Who we are is built on relationship in Christ, and therefore we have trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Come on, say it with me. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Let's break it down. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Now, how many of us have ever found out that we've just been leaning on our own understanding? Come on. So what do you do at that point? Oh God, I'm doing this out of my own understanding. That means I don't trust you in this area of my life. So we have to go back again and say, Lord, will you teach me to trust you in this area? Because I've got so good at doing it. So when God said to us, in 3 years I'm transitioning you back to Australia, the first thought in my mind was, well, what will we do? And I thought, no! It's who we are. Trust, faith. Otherwise we're going to plan everything, organize things, try to put things into place. And we didn't do any of that. We just said, okay. And people started saying, so what will you do when you get there? And we go, serve the Lord. I say, you're going to retire? No, we're going to serve the Lord. What will you do? We don't know yet. It sounds so feeble, doesn't it? It's feeble, but it's a learned thing over years of not trusting in yourself. Because when you trust in yourself, you'll find yourself saying, but what will we do? How will we do it? Oh, who's ever had a financial problem? Come on, give me a show of hands. Stay awake. You've had a financial problem. So what's your first port of call, prayer-wise? Apart from, help me, Jesus! All right? Apart from that, what's your first prayer? Don't try and give me the right answer. What's your first prayer? Give me more money. All right? Do you say give me more money or give me more work? Show me how I can earn money. Where can I get it from? Give me more money. Okay, somebody over 40, what would you do? Okay, let's be real about this. He asked for a better job. Lord, where can the money come from? We start to strain our own thought processes into the program. Lord, I've got to get more work. I've got to earn more pay. I've got to do this. And so instead of saying, God, give me more money, which is very reasonable, but that's not necessarily the answer either. The answer is, Lord, I trust you. And I've learned to trust you. And I realize I could fall on my face right now, but I'm going to trust you anyway. And you learn those things because trust in the Lord with all of your heart. You know what that means? Your heart means the center of all things. Trust in the Lord with all that you are. Don't lean on your own understanding. And when you catch yourself, listen to me, whether you're in leadership or not, when you catch yourself leaning on your own understanding, and you will, under pressure, always catch yourself leaning on your own understanding to some degree, this is what you need to do. Grab it by the throat. Drag it back in front of you and say, God, this is me. Teach me how to trust you in this area. Teach me, because when this happens in my life, when this pressure comes on, I go in that direction. And you know you do that. Find the path that you walk in. Find the path that your mind goes. Find your path that your anxiety goes. And bring it back to faith. See, faith is not the absence of fear, because you can have fear operating at the same time as faith. God said, I'm transiting you back to Australia in 3 years' time, and we began to process that. We started to talk to our leaders over there. put the place stuff in place. And Daniel mentioned this morning, we're over there, we're doing well, we've got the churches there, we were on a salary, and we had a house and everything was fine. And it's not that we were throwing it all away, it's just that we're saying this is what we believe in, we're trusting in God. So what will happen when you get there? Well, we don't really know. Well, where are you going to get your money from? Don't really know. Well, what will you do? Don't really know. Oh, you're pretty uncertain. No, we're certain. We don't know where we're going, but we do know how we're going to get there. And that's where the trust has to come in. So when you find yourself under pressure, leaning in a certain direction, thinking in a certain direction, acting in a certain direction, catch yourself doing it. And pull it back and examine it for what it is. And bring it back to the Lord and say, Lord, I clearly do not trust you here because I'm doing it under my own strength. I'm leaning on my own understanding. Because it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, don't lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all that you do and he will direct your paths. So if you do it under your own understanding, you're not acknowledging him in all that you do, who's directing your path? Of course. And you probably can't do as good a job. Not for sure, but probably not. But so many times in my life, I've caught myself, oh my gosh, and there's a familiar pattern that comes out. A familiar comment, a familiar thought, a familiar action. I've got to get more money. Oh, we've got to do this. Whoa. Now, I'm not talking about blind faith and just, let's just trust in the Lord and see what happens. And then you sit on your backside. That's not the issue. Because it says that we wait on the Lord. That means we serve him. Right? It's not like, I'm waiting. What are you doing? I'm waiting. What are you waiting for? A bus? No, I'm waiting on the Lord. He's going to do something one day. Well, I think you've got something to do as well. Serve him. Wait on him. Sir, trust. Get on with the job anyway. We have bought houses with no money when God has said it is time. But what we've done is prayed about it. We've talked about what sort of house we wanted. The last place we were in England, we said, God, if we had a house, we would like this many bedrooms, this is what we'd like. So we planned it all in conversation with the Lord and with each other and in prayer. And then one day, what did God say to us? Okay, it's 2 years down the track. You said, okay, go for it. Go for what? Go for the house. So how does that work? I've got no money. How does that work? And you sort of, why don't we go and look for a place as if we had the money? Well, that's pretty scary stuff. Yeah, it is. But the end result is we did that and we bought a house. We went there and it was a Christian guy who was selling the place, you know, and he said, oh, this is what we want. And we said, we can't afford to pay that. We could only pay that. And he, oh, I could never sell it for that. Well, that's the way it is. He rang the next morning and said, have you considered? No, nothing to consider. We haven't got any more money than that. In fact, I didn't tell him we didn't have any money, but just thought, you know, this is a good deal. And he said, okay, we'll sell it to you for that. And we thought, that's fantastic. So we still haven't got any money. Anyway, I'm not going to go into all those details. That's a level of faith that came out of an understanding of who we are in Christ, not what we do in Christ. And I know I'm laboring this. I want you to get this. There's a huge difference between who you are and what you do. And you catch what you do by the fruit that you produce. I said that earlier. It's you catch yourself doing it. When you're under pressure, and let's say by chance in the next month you come under pressure, right, of some kind. Something hits you, pressure comes on you, check yourself out, see what you do. See if you can find a familiar stance, position, conversation, thought, heart palpitation, something common within you. Now, it doesn't mean if your heart starts to pound, you haven't got faith. I'm not saying that. But you may find that there's a familiar thing within you that leans toward your understanding. It drives you in that direction. You know, when I was brought up, I didn't have a lot of parental input at all, but there were certain things that my parents did and said that was done and said by their parents probably to them and to them. And there were certain things that if you don't work, you don't eat. And there's a truth in that. And so what it means is then suddenly if there's no money coming in, my thought was, I've got to work harder. I've got to get another job. I've got to get three jobs. I mean, before when we were getting ready for getting married, which is 43 years ago. Yeah, it was a couple of years ago. 43 years, it's in it, next week. Next week, 43 years we've been married.
Yay!
Yay! You know what I reckon? I reckon we proved that we should keep it up. Seems to work. Okay. So where was I going? All right, so we're going to get married. So we need more money. So I had three jobs. You had at least two jobs there. And like, you know, we forgot who we were. We didn't talk to each other anymore. There was no time left in the day because we were constantly running around trying to get more money. And obviously you can work harder and get more money, but you can't live like that forever. There has to come a time when you've got to discover another way, and you discover it out of whose you are, not what you can do. Please get a hold of that. It's not out of what you can do, it's out of whose you are. That doesn't mean you don't do anything, but you do it out of whose you are. You don't establish whose you are out of what you do. That's the religious approach to it. It's the way we've been taught by people, our parents, and so on and so forth. So, I'm not going to say any more than that, because I would like to pray for some people, and I realise 2:45, what time do I get up here? 2:00. Crikey. Shut up. 43 years. Yeah. That was excitement. That was joy. Yeah, 40. It was. That was really great. I can't remember where things are now, but there's an ad, I think, in the UK that's talking about a program that was coming on. It was about technology. And the guy said, imagine we'll get to the stage one day when we're married to the same person forever. And it's just the way he put it across, like, can you imagine what that would be like, being married forever? Well, you know, you joke about that, but I'd love to be married forever if I'm still able to walk around and talk. Yay. We should celebrate. We should do something. Yeah. It's only a few years and we've been married 50 years. Out of all the stuff that's been said and done today, I want to say this. You're better than what you think. You have more than what you know. And you can achieve greater than you've ever considered. Not because you're smart, because you're a good person, and not even because you've been forgiven, which you have. It's because there's a deposit within you that Christ has placed that's there not for your benefit, but for the benefit of all the things that Christ asked you to do. And out of that, he won't leave you astray. And I remember saying to a person one time, this family in our church, and they said, oh, we're out of money again. We haven't got no. We need £500 to do this and do this. And we've been praying for £500. And I remember looking and saying, stop praying for £500. Why? Well, pray for £1,000. Well, we don't need £1,000. So it's all about you. Seriously, I think they left the church. They did. He was offended. He was totally offended. I said, don't you get it? You need £500, so you pray for. Why don't you pray for 1,000 and give 500 away? Practice that. It's always about your need. And that's often what happens to us. It's about us. It's not about you. I want you to turn to the person next to you and say, it's not just about you. Yeah, that really happened to us. All right, okay. We're not going to get into a conversation. Somebody said, it's not about you, and the other person said, well, hang on, yes, it is. Do you know, a colleague of mine was sitting with myself and a young guy one time. We were talking about job opportunities he had in life, and this really did happen. I know it's a big sort of joke in that, and it was a movie, but this guy, he sat there, and he talked for 1.25 hours about himself. And we're going, and then he said, that's enough about me. What do you think about me? It's like, are you real? This is like, it's not just about me. I don't think about myself, but when we're under pressure, we do. If you catch yourself, I need $1,000. Well, don't just pray for $1,000. pray for more. Pray for, yeah, pray for 5,000 and give us 4. No, but you hear what I'm saying? I'm not talking about money here. I'm talking about the understanding. Don't just pray for what you need. Let your faith get bigger than that. And if you get the extra money, give it away. Don't find out what else you're going to do with it. Pray for extra time, and if you get it, don't just use it up on yourself. Give it away. Give it away. Give it away. Allow the Spirit of God to work through you, and you learn those things. So, Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for Daniel and Julie, Lord God, who, Lord, just decided they were going to pop over to Australia and visit one day. And you got them. And I just thank you, Lord God, because they were cornered years ago into leadership. You trapped them into a corner and they surrendered to you. They didn't try to run away. And I thank you, Lord God, Father, for the things that they've gone through. And Bev and I know that personally, the torment, the things that have had the capacity to knock them out of the sky, knock them down flat. And yet they've got up and they've continued to go forward. The trust has been in you and they've learned what that is time after time. And I thank you, Lord God, that there's opportunity in this assembly for them all to work together to discover what you are saying to the church. Not what you're saying to this person or that alone, but what you're saying to the church and how that's going to work. Lord, I thank you that you don't restrict new leaders to young people. But you don't choose them only from old people. You choose new leaders out of people that are looked to you fresh every day for the newness of your spirit in their lives as they allow you to stir up the things that are within them as they stir the gifts that you place within themselves. Those gifts that you place in them, they stir it up themselves. And I thank you for that anointing. Lord, for the clarity of the anointing of a leader, of what that means, the terminologies that come with it, the things that have been taught, the things that have been learned, the things that have been understood, the things that have been read in the scriptures and understood by each one of us, and the culture that develops in our minds as to the way things work or don't work, should work or shouldn't work, about ourselves as individuals and about ourselves as a member of the body of Christ. Thank you, Father, for this church and the call that you have on it over Daniel and Julie, over, Lord, every member of this congregation, those now and those to come. I thank you, Father, for those that you're drawing in the Spirit, as you gather the warriors that you want in place to do the work in this new season that you want done. Not specifically picked out here at Christie's Beach, but what you're doing in this nation, what you're doing in this state, and what you're doing in the world today. That they can be raised up to a place where you would say you're ready to move forward, you're ready to go, because there's a relationship working between them and you. And therefore, they can clearly understand what you're calling them to do. That they haven't got caught up in what they can do. They haven't got caught up at what used to be. They are not even caught up on what could be in the future. But Lord, they're in relationship, so that there's a constant conversation taking place. And I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, as we pray for people now, that they can be released into the fullness of their own lives. Leadership over their own selves. Leadership over their families and in their families. Over the areas of responsibility they have or may have later. Those that you're going to raise up into serious, seriously difficult leadership positions. Lord, that you would place that anointing on them clearly and they would know that it lives within them already. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So I think it would just be good now, if it's okay with you guys, just to pray. We've got a little bit of time. And so let me just ask this, and you know, the guys will come up the front as well. If you would like specific prayer, then please come and say, could you pray for this? If you would just like prayer, then just come and say, just pray, just whatever. If you're not sure, you know, then just wait for the Lord to speak to you. Whether you've got sickness in your body and you'd like some prayer for that, whether you've got some issues in there, the thing that we've spoken about earlier during the day, some of those things may have touched you, some of the heartaches that have come and the pain that's come and the difficulty. But this is the thing I want to say now, and I want you to put a line under this. If up to this point and any time in the past you have had a difficulty with leadership in the church or in any other place or a leader of any kind, and you've been hurt or damaged or disillusioned, or you've just had a difficulty with the way things were done, and you've buried that in your heart and not forgiven them and released that, if that's sitting in there and God has called you to a level of leadership, somewhere down the track, that thing sitting in there and the call on your life are going to collide with each other, and you could get hurt. It could hold you back. So you need to consider that. You need to consider whether there's been any hurt in the past or disillusionment or frustration even, and you've allowed it to sit there. You haven't dealt with it. You haven't said, God, I forgive them. I release that. Please cleanse my heart, because I'm sure you understand the gift of repentance and forgiveness. I repent of my actions and I forgive and release that person in the name of Jesus Christ. I release them of the things that they've done and surrender them to you, Cinder Romana, because once you release that person, you're set free. Now, what they do is another story, but that's not your issue. Your issue is releasing it in your own heart. If it was a leader, it may have been a family member, it could have been anything. There's any area in your life where you're sitting on anything at all, and you're sitting on it and disillusioned, hurt, pain, and it's sitting in there somewhere, you must deal with it, because it has not gone away. You have to go away from it. You have to go away from it. You've got to repent and you move away from it. Sin does not move away from our door. We move away from it. Which is so often when people, they sort of struggle and they fall away from the Lord and they get into a backslidden state and they say, it wasn't real in the first place. Everything's the same. And they go back to doing the things that they were doing before and all the more. And they say, see, none of it was real. Yes, it was. They just went back to those things that never went away. They went away from it. And that's the thing. We have to continually walk away from it. And I'm asking you this afternoon, pleading with you, those things that may be sitting there specifically in the area of leadership, deal with it. It may have been a mother or a father or a teacher or anything like that. It doesn't have to be in church even. If there's anything in your heart that's there, deal with it. Just, Lord, I see that thing in there and there's bitterness there. There's hardness of heart. I need to say I'm sorry and I ask your forgiveness. I release that situation or that person. And I ask through the blood of Jesus Christ, you wash me clean and release me so that I can move forward. Don't ever fellowship, don't ever relate with anything that can do you harm. And I'm not talking about a person now, I'm talking about anything. Don't sit on anything. Don't give yourself, your mind, or the enemy any room to have a say in your life. Only ever give the Lord a say in your life and those that you trust around you. Can I ask you to stand with me as we finish off? And I'm going to say, just as the guys are playing at the back there, I want to say playing music doesn't help you, but it certainly helps the flow of the anointing to come forward. And I just want you to feel, this is another area. Well, if I go forward, what are the people going to think that I'm going forward for? Well, maybe pride is a good thing to get dealt with. But if there's any area in your life that you'd like someone to pray with you this afternoon, maybe you'd just like someone to lay hands on you and pray and impart whatever gifting that God is in your life, that it will be released in you. If you'd like prayer for that, please come forward. If there's sickness in your life and you've had prayer already, that's okay, because we can agree and join with that prayer to lay hands on there. If you're feeling that God has got something in and through your life and he's releasing you and this is a new season for you, you need to know that you're never too old and you're never too young to be called afresh by the Lord into the power of the Spirit of God. And just allow that thing to come on you. Allow the Spirit of God. There's no power in us except that which you receive from Christ. So please be encouraged to come forward for whatever reason. and if it's specific or if it's not.
I'm really blessed because often you give an altar call and you get a bunch of women coming forward, and it's really exciting to see men responding with such willingness, and there's a real degree of humility and willingness to grow and change in that. This is the thing about this whole day has been about leadership, and you may feel that we've focused a lot on individual heart things like forgiveness or like being really aware of who you are and not hiding in front of God, not hiding in front of other people. But the truth is, leadership that's good leadership has actually got a clean heart. And so we don't know you, but what we know is leadership that's good always starts with the heart, because out of the abundance of your heart, everything else begins to happen. And so that's why we're just really pushing that. If you have a heart for that, you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't know whether I'm leader or not. I don't know whether I'm called to leadership or not. I don't really even see where I am. Just come forward and get prayer for that. We're just going to lay hands on you. We're going to pray for you, and we're going to release the power of the presence of God over your life for this new season. The church is moving into a new season. You've had this last 9 months. It's sort of been a bit like a honeymoon. But you know what? Coming up to the summer and then starting again in February, there's a whole new season happening, and the church is going to go up a gear, and it's going to need all hands on deck.
Before we pray, I really just thinking, I've been messing around with this in my mind, trying to work out whether this is something the Lord said, it's an understanding I've got. But I just want to say this, that it says in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in the beginning is not just a terminology, it's actually a lifestyle. That new beginnings are constant in Christ. In the beginning. And God said, in the beginning this, and in the beginning so on and so forth. And I know where you stand with this and the work of the enemy, but the Bible tells us that in the Garden of Eden, the devil, the enemy, came along as a serpent. And you know the story so well. But what actually happened was, having bitten that piece of fruit, having been told not to, something took place that had never happened before in the creation of man, an ending. And an ending was a spiritual death to a new beginning. It wasn't there before, and I believe that this church is in a new beginning, and it's not like how many new beginnings, it doesn't matter how many, new beginning is constant all day, every day. God has got something new for us. And I believe there's a new beginning, and some of you have experienced an ending and it's somehow blocked you. And I want you to let go of it. It's prayed for, or even if you just stand here, to let go of it so that God is able, but so that you're willing for Him to move you forward in the new beginning. So not allowing that ending to destroy anything in you.